cliffcentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life. With Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Today we have something extremely different. Joining me as co-presenter for this one show only is a man known for his enthusiasm and exuberance. He's known by his many fans as the Good Things Guy. He is the South African answer to Graham Norton.
The South African answer to Graham Norton. Apparently, you know, I've never been introduced as that. I've heard a couple of things along the way. But South Africa's answer to Graham Norton, I'll take it.
Brent has got the same energy. If you watch Graham Norton, you'll see the same kind of energy. Lovely to have him in studio. Welcome to you, Brent.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I was saying, Gary, I was last on your show 4 years ago when I did that neck nomination. Yes, and your show was on a different station and in a different lifetime. And before then, I'd never been on radio. So one of the first radio gigs I ever did was with you.
That's true.
Look at me now.
Yeah.
Now I'm being called Graham Norton.
Well, tell us about the show that you present on Cliff Central as well.
Right.
And why are you here today, Brent?
So I do the good stuff. It's every Tuesday, hour and a half before your show on Tuesdays. And it's all about good news. I do good news, good things, only good things happening in the world. And I try and just inspire and motivate and change the national conversation because I think it's really important. But today I'm here because, actually, I don't know why I'm here. You've invited me because we're speaking about organ donation, right?
Well, we're doing the same, partly the same show earlier, 2 hours ago. You also had organ donation on your show.
I did.
So we kind of had the same guests. I said, we'll bring them in and come back and
we'll
join
just,
me.
We'll just do it all together. I had the Love Life, Gift Life girls on my show, and you've roped them into your show as well.
Yes, true. Okay, joining us today as well is, as usual, our contributor, Lionel Makoko-Klela. You can curtsy, Lines. Welcome to you.
Great to see Greg in our studio and to our fabulous guest. Good luck, enjoy, and welcome for coming in.
Before we introduce our fabulous guests, as you call them, let's give out our email address, law@cliffcentral.com.
Certainly.
Lion, you want to give out the Twitter handle?
The Twitter handle is at HertzLaw, which is HERTZLAW. Please do like our Facebook page. Give us a comment. Anything that you'd like us to talk about, give us any hints, and we'll do so.
Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg.
Exactly. Like the page, and you can also just leave your comments there.
Let's introduce our studio guest today, the man who said he's lived with a donor kidney for 30 years.
Nearly
30. It's going to be 30 on the 19th of October, which is my birthday as well. Welcome to you, Jacques Lambiotti. Good to have you in studio. It's nearly 30 years. Wonderful. We're going to go into a bit of detail on that one. Also with us today is Shailene Perry. Welcome to you, Shailene.
Thanks for having us on your show.
Yeah, and together with you is Fawn Rogers. Both of you are organ recipients.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You look terrific. I mean, no one would know.
So, thank you.
That's the point of organ donation.
Good on you. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Jessica Nibbs of the Sandton Chronicle about a Cape Town concern that is offering organs and tissues for sale. And I don't know whether it's a prank or a promotion or a hoax, whatever it is. Jessica is going to tell us all about it. So stay online for that one. It's a goodie. Good. Let's talk to the man who turns, his kidney turns 30 in his body on the 19th of October. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Looking forward for the next 30.
Well, let's hope so. You're 69 years old.
Correct.
Jacques, you're fit. You play tennis, I believe. And you.
Yes, two, three times a week, depending how I feel about it. But, yeah. Definitely, that's a part of my medication.
I trace an accent, a French accent. Where are you from originally?
Yes, born in Congo, Belgium, Congo, DRC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you come to South Africa?
In 1972.
Okay. When did you know that things were going wrong with your existing body, with your kidney?
Well, you know, my mom has been suffering from polycystic kidney, which apparently is hereditary. And in those days, people used to die, so-called, from a heart attack, but they couldn't sort of pinpoint the reason for it. And over the years, with the technologies improving, they eventually found out that was a cause of it, was a polycystic kidney. And my mum and a few of our other brothers and sister inherited the same disease. But remember, there were six of them, and I think four of them out of six had the polycystic kidney problem.
So it's a genetic disorder?
It's a genetic disorder. But the funny thing is, they said to you, if you marry sort of out of your sort of, please, your nationality, because, you know, I think you found, especially in Holland and Belgium, people very much as close societies, and they are somehow connected far back. So me married completely out of my nationality, we thought, well, we'll limit or reduce, if any, the risk of my children having the same problem. And guess what? 10 out of 10, my three children's got exactly the same thing. So it's somehow, it's a very powerful gene. And but again, thank goodness for the generosity of the donor and the donor's family to decide to provide me with the biggest gift of life, who allow me to enjoy life to the fullest, never mind my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and who knows, even my grandchildren. But it's a wonderful gift that one must appreciate, and believe me, I appreciate it every day. Just the fact that I can go to the loo and have a wee, that's already a luxury. Something.
I mean, having a kidney for 30 years is quite something. What is the longest, do you know, right now in
I
the world?
I think it's well in the 30s, as far as I know. But I'm not quite sure. But, you know, obviously it's getting, the list is getting thinner and thinner as we go into the 30. I'm not sure if anybody is over the 40. But I know definitely people.
How long did you wait for your donor kidney?
I was very lucky. I only wait, I think, for about 9 months. I was very, very lucky, I think, because I've got a B-plus blood group.
Yeah. Did you go for dialysis? Did they have that then? Forgive my ignorance.
Yes.
Has that been going for many years, dialysis?
Yes, I've been on dialysis, but as I say, obviously only for 9 months, which is very lucky in relation. Some people used to go for much longer.
Brent, do you know more about that?
Well, I've just actually Googled it while we're sitting talking here, and there was an article released last year, 2016, a great grand becomes longest surviving transplant patient after kidney donation 38 years ago. She's 80 years old. She received her kidney in 1978. So you're saying that you are looking forward to the next 30 years. I see that coming.
I hope so.
You when you arrived in South Africa, were you in jeopardy? Your
kin? No. You know, I think you sort of maybe in denial. You know, your mum's got it, and you've got other things in your mind. You're full of energies and scheme and intention. You just came. I came in this country chucking, couldn't speak a word of English. There must be 20 or 22 rand left in my pocket. And the world at your feet, and you just try to make the best of it. And as I say, you've got a lot of other issues, you're full of energies and whatever. And eventually, I've got kidney stones. And because of family history, we sort of say, well, please remove those kidney stones and then check it at the same time if I might have the same problem. And that's how I found out that I had exactly the same problem as my mum's side at the time. But, you know, it's a situation, you accept it. You've got the energy, you've got the stamina, and you just carry on and hope for the best.
Now, what was the balance there? It was either a transplant or being on dialysis forever, or was that not an option?
Well, I think you've got no option. Either you're on a dialysis, or you get a donor account and allow you to live a normal life.
Could you in your 30s, when this happened, remained on dialysis forever if you couldn't find a donor, or do you eventually?
Well, yes, I believe people do stay for 25, 30 years, I think, on dialysis. But, you know, it's really impeded your life altogether, because wherever you go, you must want to make sure that you've got a facility of dialysis on the other side wherever you go. So you in a way always attached to a piece of equipment to clean your blood.
Who was your donor, Jacques? Do you know who it was?
No, I don't.
Did they not tell you?
No, at the time they didn't, and at one stage.
Was it someone who died or someone who was alive?
Somebody died. Usually, fortunately, a motorbike accident. But funny enough, I got one transplant from a kidney from a child of 14 years old. I think it was August. Yeah, August 1987. He was playing with his friend onto a mine dump, digging a tunnel, and the tunnel just collapsed on him. He was 14 years old, and I was very lucky to have his kidney, but because of bad surgery, I think 10 days later, I lost it. But thank goodness, 9 weeks later, I got a second one. And
is your body very scarred? Because I think today, I may be wrong, I think they do it laparoscopically. What's the word, yes? I think they may do it that way. In those days, they used to cut you open.
It shows you how the body is such a most fantastic, beautiful piece of equipment, But when you see the amount of scar and the cut it and what your hand and... arms and of course, you know, on the kidney part, look like it, and over the years it's just almost gone. It just repaired itself, and it's absolutely unbelievable.
You never had the opportunity of thanking your donor.
I was looking for it, but I believe after 10 years they actually deleted all the information. And at the time, they were stopping people to contact the donor's family for various reasons. But I just thought with the time, it would be very good to sort of meet the donor's family to basically to show very much my appreciation and show how powerful donating an organ to a human being can be, because it allowed me to do a lot of things that I wouldn't never been able to do it.
I've got a fantastic story. I'm going to play it for you now. I've interviewed a man in the past who also had kidney problems, and he was a great surfer, 53 years old, and the doctor said, listen, that's the end of you. You can no longer surf. You're done, boy. You're going to go on to dialysis for the rest of your life. Let's take a listen to this. After that, we're going to talk a little bit about it. It concerns the donor. That's why I'm raising this. In studio today, we have the recipients. Let's hear about the donor side.
Yes.
Anyone listening to this, you're going to have a box. You need a box of tissues next to you, because it's...
I can't believe it.
It's very teary. It is so
very
heartwarming.
Powerful.
It's very powerful. After this, we'll talk to Shailene and... Okay. Let's take a listen.
Chris, you told us about a year ago that you were a great surfer. You're 53 years old, or you were then, and something terrible happened to you. What was it?
Well, my kidneys failed in... about 2 years ago, the kidneys failed, and that was the end of surfing, diving, long hikes along the coast. It was pretty much the end of life as I knew it. And on the 26th of May, and you know, I still battle not to weep when I speak of this, but so excuse me if I do, but I was approached during dialysis by an old friend, Janet Stone. And Janet basically said to me, look, you're suffering, I'm here for you, my kidney is yours. She never once faltered, she never backed down. And there were some really, really difficult aspects to the process, but she was always there. And on the 26th of May this year, at the Chris Barnard Memorial Hospital, Janet's kidney left her body and was placed inside mine. Mm. I no longer have to go to dialysis anymore. And that in itself is, it's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I've got my life back.
Okay, that's the clip. You remember that, Kate?
Yes,
it was very touching.
Vivid,
it was very tearful. I think we all were in studio. We had a big studio that day, and most of us were tearful to think that some woman has saved the life of another. So we're going to speak to that woman. Her name is Janet Stone. Let's call on her to talk to us. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Gary.
Janet, you heard that clip?
I did. It's made quite an impact on me. I know Chris and I, we see each other quite often. But to hear that, it kind of brought everything back into focus again. It's been almost a year now.
Mm.
And, yeah, I think about it often, but mostly it feels like a dream.
So, Janice, you are living with one kidney and one was donated to Chris.
To Chris,
yeah.
Yes.
How are you doing health-wise?
Absolutely, 100%, absolutely. My family and I have always been open about donation after death. So, you know, it wasn't a new discussion. It was just a new angle. And I spoke to the children, and they were all happy with it. And then I spoke to my husband, and he said, you know what, it's actually not a surprise. You've always wanted to be a donor. This is just a little bit sooner than expected. And so I contacted Chris and Linda and said, okay, it's a go. And from then it was the test.
Janet, how can Chris or anyone ever repay you for this?
There is no repayment. You know what? I think being alive and being able to witness the effect of donating a kidney is the most amazing reward. You don't need anything else, really. Just to be able to see Chris come alive. He's able to do things he wasn't able to do.
They say that you're never too old to donate an organ. What age were you when you donated this?
I was 56.
Mm.
I believe there are older donors, and I think so long as you know, your health is okay, you go through rigorous tests. They won't take a kidney if your health is questionable.
So, Janet, with one kidney, both of you have one kidney, you can live a normal, healthy life, both of you.
Absolutely. Yes. What happens is my kidney, my remaining kidney, has enlarged. That's why they say the first couple of months you may experience sort of tiredness. Personally, I felt a little bit in the first couple of weeks, but after that it was fine. But what happens is the kidney actually enlarges to take up the load of the missing kidney. And the same thing would have happened with Chris.
You're a special angel, and I know that Chris wants to publicly thank you. And how do we do this? I mean, you'd like to stand on the steps of the town hall and say how wonderful you are. But we've done something special today on Cliff Central. We always pull rabbits out the hat. We've actually got Chris on the line right now. And we're going to bring,
yes.
Don't go away, we're going to bring him on. And he's going to talk to you and thank you. So.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Chris?
Yes.
Hi. Talk to us. You've heard Janet saying what she did. How do you feel?
Well, I can't hear Janet right now. I can only hear you because my phone is away from the computer.
Oh,
but can she hear me?
Janet?
Yes, I can.
Yes, yeah.
How do I thank Janet Stone?
Yeah, how do you thank her? Yep.
You don't. You can't. This is unbelievable. It's, you know, the reason that we are having this phone call right now, in other words, the reason that I'm alive to be speaking to you, the reasons are two people. My living donor, Janet. Hi, Janet. I love you, Janet. Thank you, Janet. And my life partner, the woman who married me in 1996, the unsung heroine, Linda Newton Bodges. Without those two women, we would not be having this conversation today. And without those two women in my life and their love, I would not have been able to pack my rucksack last Tuesday and hike 20 kilometers from Morgan Bay to Hugga Hugga along the coastline on my own. I wouldn't have been able to do that. And for me, that's the greatest thing in my life, to walk along the coastline, usually with my dog and a lovely packed lunch that Linda's made for me. That's it. And I did it on Tuesday. I did it. I tested Sophia. I took her for a hike. Sophia is my new kidney, by the way. And we went walking together. We walked 20K. So Linda and Janet, you know, people say, how do you thank them? I don't know.
Janet?
Yeah, you know, I think for Chris, the thanks is the fact that he's alive and enjoying his life. That is thanks enough for me.
Yeah, this is one of the most touching shows I've done in many a year, to getting the two of you together. And I think we all have tears in our eyes here in studio. It's wonderful news. It's happy. It's great.
It's beautiful.
I was glad to be here.
Well done, Janet. God will bless you for this, yeah.
Yes, Janet, if I must...
contribute?
Yeah, Roy Sutner, yeah.
Janet, there's a Talmudic expression which says, one who saves one life is as if you save the world.
Mm, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's correct, for sure.
Charles Dickens, I've also got a quote. He says, no one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of another. True as well.
Thank you.
Well done to you, Janet, and... all you did for Chris, yeah.
Thank you for letting me share. And please, I just urge people to think about organ donation. It isn't necessarily for everyone, but there are plenty of people out there who I feel could if they just knew how to do it.
It's very touching, isn't it, Brent? We're back live.
Yeah. Man, I am... What I love about what you've just played and the interview that just took place is that you highlight the importance. And there are so many myths around organ donation. There are so many different concepts and perceptions. But the reality is right there. It's life-saving, and it's giving human beings a second chance. It's a beautiful story that Janet was alive when it all happened, and that she was able to give a piece of herself to someone else in order for them to survive. And I don't, you know, I'm an organ donor, and if someone needs a kidney, I'm here. That's all I'm saying.
The story is just the witnessing of the remarkable work that you did by giving a piece of you to somebody else so that they live a normal life. And that is just powerful beyond words. There's nothing as great as just giving life to someone else.
Let's talk to Shailene Perry for a moment. Shailene, you're a lung transplant recipient.
Yes, that's right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. I actually only got my transplant last year, so I'm sort of a year out, and yeah, things have been great this last year.
You're a young mommy?
Yes, I am. I've got a little daughter. She's turning 4 in about 2 weeks. So, when I got sick, she was actually only a year old, so that was obviously quite a frightening reality for me. Waiting for lungs is slightly different to kidneys because you aren't offered something like dialysis to sort of extend your life until you can find an organ. Mm. So waiting for lungs is very sort of time sensitive, and whilst you have oxygen to help you with sort of day-to-day life, that's also very limiting because you attached to a pipe at your house pretty much the whole time. It's just very hard. I couldn't really be a proper mom in the sense of the word, where I had to stay at home the whole time whilst daddy and my little daughter went out, and I missed a lot of things for her growing up, but I was very fortunate to get my call in time and get my transplant. So, yes.
Yeah, I think the emphasis today is on people. We want people to donate. That's what we're looking at, and that's why I played that clip, and I want to ask you all, do you know who your donor was?
No, so I don't know who my donor was. But something you asked, Jacques, whether you get a chance to thank your donor, is they do allow you, well, at least these days, you are allowed to write a letter to your donor family. It does have to be kept confidential, obviously, for various reasons from both sides, the donor family and the recipient side. But yes, you are allowed to write a letter to the donor family just to, well, like your
speaker
said.
What do you say?
Said,
well, how do you
well, that's,
thank
I
them
think
enough?
Chris, like Chris yeah, said in your yeah, little clip there, you can't actually thank someone for saving your life. I mean, how can I put into words, thank you for allowing me to still be here. Thank you for letting my daughter have a mom. Thank you for letting my husband have a wife. And this, I mean, organ donation touches so many lives besides yourself directly. It saves families. It saves friends. Mm. So, yeah, you can't really put it into words, but I hope that maybe it offers some sort of bit of peace or comfort to the donor family, just to know that...
How does
that
it work with the lung? I know with the kidney, you've got two and you can live with one. How does it work with lungs?
Well, unfortunately with lungs, like I was saying, there's no machine to sort of replace its function. Mm. Oxygen machines can help to an extent, but they're just more, I would say, relieve discomfort. So lungs, literally, if you don't get a donor in time, you do pass away. Mm. So there's nothing else that they can offer you.
Who would have donated their lung to you? Someone that was passing
yes,
away
it would
or
have
passed
had,
away?
Yeah, so it would have had to have been from someone
so
who passed
how does
away.
It work in practice? Does somebody die and then immediately they take the lung out? Is that...
Yes, so... So once someone has declared brainstem death, yes, which is sort of irreversible brain damage, you know, the transplant coordinators do approach the family to ask for consent of the for them to be an organ donor. A lot of organs are very time sensitive on how long they can be out the body. So, for example, lungs can only be out the body for a maximum of 4 hours. Mm. So the time period is quite... very short.
Were you like rushed in? Did they
yeah,
find
yeah, so they
come
do.
In quickly?
It, yeah. It's literally almost like the movies where I had almost I did have a hospital bag packed. It was waiting at the door. We had emergency plans in place. Who's going to phone who? Who takes me to the hospital? And backup plans on that too. So yes, you get a phone call and depending on the circumstances, some people almost have 20 minutes to get to the hospital. Mm. But I was basically told, be here within the hour. So we quickly dropped off my daughter to a friend's house. We had to sleep over there and we went straight to hospital.
How long is it? Did you say you waited? Did you tell me how long you waited for a lung?
No, so I waited a year for a lung.
What's the average wait for a lung?
It's very hard to say. So lungs are slightly different just because the matching criteria is different to a kidney. Yeah. Obviously, besides your blood group and tissue type, you also have a size requirement. It has to fit in your body. So it's actually quite tricky and difficult to find a matching donor for lungs.
Yeah, I mean, there's all we're saying we want to convey today is that we wish more people would put their names down for
yes,
organ
I mean,
donation.
Well, I think that's...
Yeah. And unless it's kind of against your religion, and there are some religions, I'm Jewish, I think it's against my religion. I think Muslims are also prevented. But if not, I mean,
well,
why
I
not?
Think,
Brent rightly says he's an organ donor.
Sorry, let me put my mic on. I'm here, and I've publicly said it a couple of times that I'm an organ donor. Honestly, I don't care about religion. It's about giving humans that chance at life. Mm. It's saving seven lives. You're giving it's seven different people the opportunity to survive, which I think is so important. I see my body as a vehicle right now. And when I'm no longer driving that vehicle, someone else can have the parts. I don't mind at all. And just hearing that interview, if I'm alive and I'm able to do that, flip man, I'll do that too because we can. In the show this morning, one of the interesting things, and I'll let Fawn sort of bring it up, but it's not enough just to have your name on the organ donor list. That's not the be all and end all. Fawn, if you can just sort of explain, that's not enough.
Fawn, how it works,
So like
first of all, just tell us who you are and what you're a recipient of.
So I'm also a lung transplant recipient. I had double lung. So Shailene had one lung. So to answer your question earlier, you can, with lungs the same as kidneys, you can survive with one, but you can't be a living donor of a lung. You need to have passed away. So that's just the difference there. Mm. So I received two beautiful lungs from my donor, who I don't know who they are, but I'm very grateful to them and their family for making that decision. Mm. Earlier in Brent's show, I was just saying that to be registered as an organ donor is great because you've, you know, expressed your wishes. But unfortunately, in this country, at time of death, your family are approached and they ultimately make the decision. So your family are asked if they would consider donating their son, daughter, mom, dad. And if their decision is no, then that's the decision. So with Love Life, Gift Life, our message to the public is to speak to your family and tell them of your wishes. Don't just go and register and leave it at that. You really need to speak to your family and tell them why it's an important thing for you.
Yeah. I think lines we've often spoken about a living will.
Oh, certainly.
And that
yes.
would take care of this. So in your living will, you say, or in your dying will, both you should provide for this, that I want to be an organ donor.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important for people to really now start examining their position, because at the end of the day, we live in a very global environment or global world where we are really interconnected in one way or another. So given our backgrounds, we need to really start questioning, what can we possibly give to the universe? If I can save one life, which is going to really connect another unit of a family, why not? It's just an organ donor, yeah. And you are not going to use it. Whether you die with all your parts, at the end of the day, you have saved somebody else's life. And that's what life is all about.
Let's talk about the rural areas where people die in mass, I think, much more than up here in the cities. Do they know about this? I mean, how's the message being conveyed to them, Lions? Do they know to donate organs?
No, they
Is
don't.
Is it a culture?
It's a cultural thing, and in more ways than one, it's seen as a taboo, especially in the black community, where you are actually said you need to actually go back to your ancestors with all your organs. And for that, it's just something that people also need to start examining their own position.
Can that be changed? I mean, can we teach people in areas that
certainly
there are others that really need it?
Can
we change the mindset?
We can. And I think the only way we can start doing it is by actually having more dialogues like this, and actually making sure that we have people who have actually been the recipient of these organs to come and really speak about their gratitude, as well as what these organs have actually done to them. So that they get to see the impact, get to interact with the impact of what organ donation can actually do to people's lives. And I really think it is very, very much possible. It's part and parcel of education, because most people don't know about it. And as a result, they wouldn't actually see it differently, because they don't know anything about it. The same as HIV and AIDS, when it all started within the black community, children were actually excluded. But nowadays, people know about it, and you know, it's just become a norm. We talk about it and you educate me.
I saw a stat somewhere, I'm not sure of what website. It says that in South Africa, less than 0.2% of people are registered as organ donors. Is it off your site, guys? I'm not sure.
I really think that would be correct, but because most people
It's a tragedy
don't.
If that is the stat. Less than 0.2% are registered as donors. Would that be about right? Yeah.
Yes. The stat that we have is actually less than 0.1. So it's really the situation is not good at all. And I mean, when you look at the high death rate we have in South Africa, I mean, the potential, not to sort of, you know, sound off sides, but the potential of organ donors is there. We shouldn't have anybody waiting for organs when there's such a high death rate. So we're not wanting to increase the death rate. We're not wanting to change. We're just saying, guys, if you are going to pass away, like, pass away as a hero and make a difference in your last.
Well, how do we get to, Brent, you may have a good idea on this one. How do we get to, is it the mortuaries you want to get to? Is it the hospitals?
Well, I mean, on my show, and Fawn can break down what their organization is doing, which is phenomenal. Love Life, Gift Life is just doing incredible stuff for South Africa. But what I said, and I live in a different world. I've got rose-tinted glasses on all the time. But what I said is, wouldn't it be cool if you were born on the organ donor list and you had to opt out? Then you wouldn't have this problem. It's the opting in. It's that one step that people have to take that is almost the barrier. Before I met Fawn, so Fawn and I go way back, we're friends, and before I met her and I heard her story, she's had her beautiful lungs for 4 years now. We celebrate every year. She stands up and says a big thank you to her organ donor. It's a beautiful thing that she's here and she's able to live a normal life and you know, be there, and it's flipping cool. But before I met her, I wasn't against organ donation. I wasn't for it.
You just didn't know enough of it.
It didn't feature in my life. Yeah. It wasn't something that I would speak about.
Yeah. May I ask you, are you a mommy as well, or no?
I'm not a mommy, but okay. I mean, like we said, apart from saving my life, I mean, I've obviously got a loving family, and you know, I am the daughter in this case that was saved, and so, you know, I say thank you to my organ donor, not only for me, but for my family who fought so hard to keep me here. And
what age are you, Fawn, if I may ask?
I'm 29.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're 29. I'm 30. You've had a kidney for 30 years. You are 69, Jacques. And Shaylee?
I'm 33.
The three of you are living very healthy, normal lives. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's like, let's talk to your wife for a second. Come forward if you don't mind. You didn't expect this, did you? Tell us about your husband, Jacques, from your perspective as a wife. You've been with him for 45 years, I believe. How's he doing?
He's very, very well. He has no restrictions whatsoever. Mm. It's just a bit of old age now creeping in. But he plays tennis, he eats and does exactly. We travel extensively. Mm. And he's never allowed the kidney transplant to get in his way. My biggest fear when he became ill, because I'd like to mention the particular disease he has only manifests itself after the age of 30. Mm. So he was about 30. He was only ill for about a year before he got the transplant. But my biggest fear, I had three young children. My eldest son was 10, another one of 8, and then a little one of a year old. My biggest fear was that he wouldn't see them grow up. And today all three of them all married, and we have now 5 grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So it's something we never ever anticipated. But he's always faced life, just taken it on. Mm-hmm. He never allowed his condition, in inverted commas, hold him back.
Can he eat everything? Can he drink?
He lives a very, very healthy life. Also, he has a very balanced life. Mm. There's nothing restricted. He'll have a drink, but he certainly doesn't. Sometimes he'll say, "No, I'm not going to have a glass of wine. My body doesn't feel like it." You know. Yeah. But he eats absolutely everything. He plays tennis. It worries me. I say, "Please don't go out there and kill yourself. I don't want you dropping dead from a heart attack." After all this, but he does. But he's quite.
You could have a heart transplant as well, maybe.
No, we won't go there. Yeah. And he's just actually been in hospital last week for the first time in 30 years. Oh. Nothing to do with his kidney or anything else. He got a septic finger and he had to have the nail removed.
Shame.
So that's in 30 years.
Yeah, lovely to hear, isn't it? This is heartwarming. Marvelous story.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, there's a sick story, very sick or sick in every way. You know, sick is used in a happy way as well today. That's making headlines in the Santon Chronicle, which is something that I read religiously. It's where I get my information from. There's a Cape Town company advertising kidneys and all kinds of organs and tissues, which is against the law, the way they're doing it. And the Santon Chronicle got their teeth into this one. So let's welcome one of their star journalists. Are you a journalist?
I am.
One of their star journalists. It's Jessica
Nibs.
Yeah. I pronounce it. It's spelled K-N-I-B-B-S.
Silent K, yes.
Yes, silent K. Hello. Jess, what's going on? I mean, what is the story all about?
So basically, I got the details passed on by my editor, Megan Tyack, and it stated that 2 weeks ago, there was a lady in Durban that was handing out pamphlets at Tiger Valley to passing motorists. And on this pamphlet, it was advertising the services of a new day clinic. And with the tagline being where you can get the body part you want within a week, and transplants offered at their world-class medical facility. So I did a bit of investigation and had a look at their website, which was pretty shocking. It was stating things like 3.5 million on offer for a kidney, 2 million for a liver, a pair of eyeballs will cost you 20,000 rand, and charging 140 rand per square centimeter of skin. So according to this website, the clinic is based in Cape Town, and the leading transplant surgeon is a Dr. Anton Wright, and he specializes in kidney, liver, heart, and pancreas transplants. And it also said that he is a co-director of a life exchange research program. So I did some further investigation and Googled this Dr. Anton Wright, and no details came up for him except for a Dr. Anthony Wright, who is a dentist based in Houghton. So that's obviously not him. Mm-hmm. And also did call the number that was on the website, which takes you directly to a voicemail. So there wasn't actually anyone physically that I could speak to. And the website domain name was bought via a proxy. So basically, according to my investigations and research, I would say it's more than likely definitely a hoax, a clever little elaborate campaign for a new local film that's been produced and was actually just recently had their premiere. It's called Bypass. So
this is all done in as a promo for a
correct
for a movie.
Yeah.
You know, the sad part about this, I mean, it's all very funny and all the rest, if it is funny, but there could be a lot of people that could be enticed into thinking, hold on a second, mm-hmm. I can get a lot of money for my organs, let me sell them.
100%.
And the wrong people would be doing that. Brent, you know about social media. This is a silly thing, isn't it?
Well, it's not just silly. It's massively damaging. And the reason for that is... the work of what South Africa and people who work in the organ transplants or in those sort of industries, they are constantly trying to debunk myths. And I mean, we've spoken about religion, we've spoken about culture, we've spoken about people's perceptions. And to take it back 20 years is just irresponsible. I understand that there's clever people who sit around, I work in advertising. There's clever people that sit around a table and they all get their pads out and their creativity and they go, this will be a great idea to launch this movie. Damn, man, the PR around this will be fantastic. We won't have to pay anybody to put sort of articles up. It'll have talkability on social media. And it was irresponsible.
I think we're giving them more publicity now.
It was irresponsible. It was incredibly irresponsible.
Insensitive also.
Insensitive. Yeah. From that, you realize it goes one step further. I don't know if you've seen the movie, Bypass.
I haven't, no.
Okay. So Bypass took everything we know about organ donation and threw it in the bin. And it literally, people were walking out of the movie theater going, I'm not signing up. I'm not signing up. That's crazy. Why would you ever... sign up to be an organ donor? And it's great and it's fantastic to celebrate South African film producers that are doing amazing things. But when you're on a global platform where you can be a content creator and you're being irresponsible, that's completely wrong. Mm. It's completely wrong.
I think advertising has always been a bit tongue-in-cheek and sometimes you have to sit and think, where's the limit?
You know what the difference is? And I said this in my show early on, and I may have said it now, I don't actually remember. The only reason we care about organizations, initiatives, or charities is because it affects us. The only reason you'd give money to someone who is asking for breast cancer is because someone in your family has suffered from it, right? If it's the same sort of place with organ donation... and it's not part of your direct circle, then you seeing this movie for the first time and seeing this concept that they've concocted, it's going to turn you off completely. And when you walk away, you're going to turn other people off as well. And it's a huge problem. When we say that less than 1% of our population are on the organ donation list, this movie's done nothing to help it. Nothing at all. I get it. It had to be entertaining, but it needs to be entertaining to a point. There was a case a little while ago with the SBCA where they did the same thing with dogfighting. They put up all the trailer ads and the billboards and phone this number and get involved with pit bull fighting and place your bets now. And because we own pets, because as South Africans, majority of us have a cat or a dog or something, we cared. And we shouted and we were angry and we were angry with the SBCA and we were angry with the people that created the advert because less than 1% of our population are on the organ donation list. No one stood up for what we should be standing up for. What is the legality around that?
On what they've done?
On what they've done. Or is that quite a tricky...
No, well, I think, you know, the answer is this, and this is, it's a promo, it's, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek, it's not meant to be serious. Mm. It's obviously not serious is what the answer will be. You can't pay 140 rand per centimeter of skin and so on. It's just, it reaches kids, it reaches the wrong people. This organ trafficking in South Africa is a serious problem. Lines, you know that. People are buying... literally they're buying eyes and people are being murdered for the Muti murders and
exactly
all that.
Yeah. In the black community this is called witchcraft. Nothing else but witchcraft. And the moment you start promoting something like this, it's more like promoting witchcraft to actually take place. So as a result, I think from a legal point of view, they were irresponsible and very distasteful for them to actually do a promo in that manner.
Yeah, it falls foul of the Advertising Standards Authority. I think they could be reported there, and I think they'd be wrapped over the knuckles.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, and they probably should be. It's a cheap way of trying to promote something. I think we all agree on that one.
I think they should know that they have a responsibility, that many people are viewing this. What they could have maybe done at the end of the film is given details of organ donation or something like that, just to, you know, show that they do care.
Yeah. Well done to the Stanton Chronicle and Jessica.
Thank you.
Nips.
I get that
Nips
a lot.
Jess, it's all over the Stanton Chronicle. If you want to have a look at the article that Jess wrote, just log on stantonchronicle.co.za.
Stanton Chronicle on Facebook, yeah. And I think it'll be out in next week's paper of Stanton Chronicle.
Well done on your investigations. It's good that journalists don't write stuff. They actually go and investigate.
Oh, no, 100%. If my name's on the line, then I will definitely do my investigation.
Cool. Well done to you.
Thank you.
Thanks. You want to wait for us? We're going to have pictures afterwards. You're going to get a picture with Brent.
Yeah, happy
He's got 50,000 Facebook friends as well. You'll be number 50,000 more, I think. How many you got now, Brent?
I don't know. My Facebook,
he's a very popular guy.
My Facebook reaches like 7 million people a month. Whatever. Really? But here's the reality, and this is what I was going to say, right?
You've got to get this message out to 7 million.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Is I don't care. That's all come with the radio show, and it's really cool that I'm able to share good news with many people. The problem with a movie like this, the film, and the PR around it, is that they're chasing the clicks. They want the fame. It's the internet fame. And the internet fame is not real. So even once they get it, they've made the movie. It's out there. They've done the damage. And they'll just drift off into the darkness. It'll all just disappear because that's it. It's not real. It's a flash in the pan. I am going to phone someone and I'm going to report them to someone. I want to do that.
Yeah, we'll go to the Advertising Standards Authority. They'll take
I'm going to get their number from you afterwards.
Yeah. What about, who knows this one? Can we get kidneys 3D printed? Is that available? Are there artificial kidneys around? I don't know about lungs. There's talk of all kinds of things.
Yeah, I know there is a lot of talk and research going into like 3D printing or building lungs and growing lungs from stem cells. Yeah. Unfortunately, nothing's available yet.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible in the future. Yeah. I mean, lung transplants themselves are relatively new, and so medical sort of discoveries and advancements are happening so quickly. So it's definitely something that we'll see at some point, but not in our, not when we needed it, and certainly not in the next sort of 10 years, I'd say, in South Africa. So it's a while. So we are relying on people's generosity.
Yeah. Wonderful to know there are people like Janet Stone around. I hope she's listening, and a further compliment to her. It's a heartwarming story. We don't often get that because people that are the donors, are, as you in your cases, are not around to thank.
Yeah,
so, we want to thank as many people who are going to be donors as possible. Jacques, well done. What are you going to do on your 30th anniversary?
Well, I'm just organizing a little do at the Wanderers Club.
Yeah.
At the tennis club.
You'll invite us all there, I hope.
Absolutely. In fact, you better tell me because I'm bringing a case of champagne, so I must have to bring another second case of champagne. So, I would love to have you. And I think there's a significance there that whatever organ that you get and then you have that luxury, you basically can lead absolutely a normal life. And as of very often standing on that tennis court, I think to myself, you know, how lucky I am.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is so powerful. One doesn't realize it. Yeah. And if I can just bring the issue about the donation, and I think on a big drive myself, you know, I don't know, I've been taught in love, if you wanted to receive, and I'm talking in general, you must be able to give. And if you're not prepared to give, sorry, Gary, I don't see any reason why you should receive. Because it doesn't work two ways. Give and take. And that's where I'm going to go on a big drive. And if possible, even to go a minister of health and tell people it's a situation. You can't have your cake and eat it. It's as simple as that, putting the bottom line. Mm. And by asking or saying that, I haven't been unreasonable. You might need an organ desperately. And I mentioned the
case. Can you donate your kidney?
Well, they've already been pickled, but I'm not sure how long they're going to be to be staying alive.
Let's talk to Lionel about something that happened yesterday, I think. Lionel.
Oh, yes. University of Stellenbosch, actually, and Tigerberg Academic Hospital have recently just did another transplant where somebody actually donated their human organ. In this case, it was a penis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it went successfully well. So
trust Lionel to find that article. Do you know much about
it? It's the third penis transplant, successful penis transplant in the world. And I think all three of them have happened in South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
So we are really breaking the mold in South Africa. And I think we just need to really share the words and actually encourage people to become organ donors, just so that at least we have more of it. The same way as we do with a blood transplant, like SABS, where we do the banking of the blood. Yeah, so let's do the same.
Chris Barnard was, it's 50 years ago, 67. Mm. It's 50 years this year that he did the first heart transplant in Cape Town. And funnily enough, I saw this. He did a kidney transplant as well, the second one in the world. I think the first was done in 1953 in the USA, and then he did the second kidney transplant in South Africa in October 1967.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know either. I thought he only did the hearts, but he also did the kidneys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a lovely show. Is there anything before we let you go to our girls that you want to talk to us about? And where do people register if they want to be heart donors? There's a website. You want to talk to us about that?
As we were saying, organ donations is incredibly important, and it's something that you don't think about until, unfortunately, it's too late. So hopefully by sharing stories like ours and just educating the public, people will realize that it's a decision that you should be making today before it's too late. And you can register as an organ donor, but we encourage people to rather speak to your families, because in South Africa, if you are a registered organ donor, at the time of your death, your family has to make the decision. So you can be registered, but when you're, when the transplant coordinators approach your family, they can still say no. So we encourage people to tell their family and just really think about the decision that they're making.
Can I make a suggestion as well? I think you should write to the Law Society. They have what they call a Free Wills Week in September, and they appoint certain lawyers to give the public a free will. Simple will. I think they should also notify the attorneys that they should request clients to consider organ donation in their will.
Yes. So the only issue with a will is, unfortunately, like Shay was saying earlier, when you're looking at something like a lung, which has got 4 hours outside the body.
Absolutely.
By the time you've looked at a will, but I mean, it is something that'll help. At least the conversation is brought up.
The family's told that it's in my will, so make sure that it happens.
Don't override. Yeah,
I think that's where it should appear.
And the thought comes into your thought process when you're drawing up the will to think about it.
Is that not a standard? If you're drawing up a will, a living will, does the attorney or the advocate not ask that as one of the questions?
No, they don't.
Because I feel like when I did my will, it was asked.
It's part of your possessions. You should.
It's not something that is commonly asked. It's only probably asked by an attorney like me who understands, you know, what I've been through with radio shows. But generally, the attorney doesn't consider that. He considers
money
and how much he can make. No, it's all about the house and the assets and all the rest. So I think that all our attorneys listening to my show, please ask that of the client.
Your organs are your biggest asset that you leave behind.
Yeah. Good. Brent Lindekue, the South African answer to Graham Norton. It's a massive compliment there.
I'm going to tweet that. That's the best compliment I received today. I heard yesterday, what did they call me for? The sandwich guy. Someone called me the sandwich guy.
Why?
Well, when the neck nominations happened, I handed over a sandwich.
Maybe and just repeat. I mean, everyone knows, but maybe not on my show. The neck nominations was a fantastic.
Well, it started off as a really silly idea. It was 4 years ago. It started in Australia, and it was all about drinking, Mr. Frenchman. And the whole concept was to drink as much as you could in an online space and then nominate other people to do what you were doing while doing a really silly act, like jumping out of a helicopter or drinking goldfish or really stupid. People were doing really stupid things. And it came to South Africa, and I thought about, like, there was a whole bunch of things going on in my head at the time. But one of the biggest is the fact that a huge portion of our population live in poverty. It's a a huge problem. And social media at that point, it was still so young that no one had really utilized it to do good. And this viral campaign had sort of come to the South African shores. And I decided that instead of just drinking, because I drink, that's easy. I can do tequila on a bar on a Friday like no one's business. But it's easy. Why don't I try and utilize this medium to try and do good? And I did, and it was a Friday, and I handed over a sandwich, and that's why that person called me a sandwich guy. But I handed over a sandwich, and it was the first YouTube video I ever put up. And when I woke up the next day, I had 500,000 views of the YouTube video, which was just unheard of 4 years ago. And CNN had phoned me. I'd missed calls, like international numbers, CNN, BBC, Sky News, and I went viral. It was a real thing. I went viral. I landed up on Oprah, on Ellen DeGeneres. It was absolutely insane, really, really cool experience. And from that, I decided, A, I love radio, and B, I need to use whatever platform I've given to do good. And that's what I do now. Now I have the radio show every Tuesday, punting myself at 10 a.m. The good stuff on Cliff Central. I also have one of the top 40 media houses in South Africa called goodthingsguide.com. We only share good news. And I vlog. I'm on YouTube as well. So I'm a vlogger. That's what I do. That's what I get paid to do.
Nick nominations was about nominating someone else to do good as well.
It became that. Yeah.
So I got nominated, I think, as a result of having you on my show. And I went down to Checkers. You had to do a good deed, and there was a little old lady there, and she was paying for her groceries. It came to like 28 rand or something, and I walked up and very shyly I said, please can I pay for this? And she's like, shoot me away. Humber from me.
You're like, what do you want?
So that's what happened to me.
No, but that's great stuff.
Yeah, man. And it was cool being on your show, Gary. I like your show. It's very informative. And you know, sitting with a lawyer, you sometimes think that they
are... Yeah, not dull and boring.
Well, this is I just didn't know on how to say that by sitting on the fence. But you're not dull and boring, and you're interesting, and the show is educational, and I think it's really cool. And you've done today is massive. I think it'll travel leaps and bounds.
On behalf of the show, thank you.
Oh,
it's big coming from
many
you.
Many thanks to all of you, to Jacques Lambiati, Shailene Perry, and Fawn Rogers. Well done, guys. Well done, and keep going. And we're going to bring you back.
Thanks for having us.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for having us. But I'd just like to, you know, to share maybe a little story.
Well, we've got a few seconds.
So we'll rather to leave it in
I think you better leave it to the 30th at the Wanderers. The whole town, the whole country's invited. Just contact
But that means in trouble. But you be
a great celebration.
Be
well
welcome.
Done, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. CliffCentral.com.